Thank you, we can have harmony on the earth.
Amen.
Gathered into your precious name.
Amen.
Thank you, here we have you.
Amen.
And because we have you, we have everything.
Amen.
Lord, even thank you for all that you are.
Amen.
The one who has all authority.
Amen.
And you have given all authority to the church.
Amen.
We could be one with you.
Amen.
To bind and to loose.
Amen.
Amen. Even in groups of twos.
Amen.
Groups of threes.
Amen.
For the kingdom of God.
Amen.
For the things of God.
Amen.
For God.
Amen.
And we can bind.
Amen.
Even the things of the devil.
Amen.
And the kingdom of the devil.
Amen.
Amen. To put him to shame.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're in morning session 2, message 3, page 43. Practicing the twos and threes. The title of this message is The Binding and Releasing Prayer of the Twos and Threes. And just to provide context, we have verses here from the book of Matthew in chapter 18. And first, it's important to know that in the book of Matthew, actually the book of Matthew itself is a book that's concentrated on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens, and is a book concerning the church as the kingdom of God, who is one with God, under God's rule, and are recipients and enjoyers of the authority of God being transmitted to the church for the carrying out and the executing of God's will on the earth. And in Matthew chapter 18, we have a setting, a nice picture of some saints, two or three, that are gathered into the Lord's name. And they have harmony, which is indispensable. And they are asking for whatever. And by their asking, they are loosing the will of God on the earth that it might be done in the heavens. And they're binding the things concerning the power of Satan, Satan himself, and the kingdom of Satan, for the sake of God's purpose to recover this earth, which is rightfully His. So gathering in twos and threes is a big deal. Because here in groups of twos and threes, we have the power, actually, we're one with the Lord with His authority, to execute on the earth whatever He wants to do. Whatever He wants to do. So Matthew 18, these verses 18 through 20 are very significant. The Lord says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven." 19, again, "Truly I say to you that if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father," He's the source, "who is in the heavens." And verse 20 says, "For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst." There am I in their midst. It's important that there's two or three. We need individual prayer, even in our morning times, to contact God, to absorb God. And in chapter 14 of John, even we see that there's individual aspects of prayer in that chapter related to asking in the Lord's name, and prayers would be released. Prayers would be answered by the Lord, even when we pray in the context of His name in John 14. And if we abide in Him, He says, and His words abide in us in John 15, prayers can also be answered. Prayers can also be answered concerning whatever we ask. But the most powerful, effectual, effective prayers, even for the answering of big prayers for the kingdom of God, will only take place in twos and threes. Will take place in twos and threes. This is the most powerful and effectual prayers that we can have. is with the prayers of the church and when we're gathered together in groups of twos and threes. We should not forget these key factors in here. Not only the number, but notice that they're gathered into the Lord's name. Into the Lord's name. This leads us to Roman numeral 1. The prayer of twos or threes is the binding and releasing prayer. And A says, the two or three in Matthew 18:20 are gathered by the Lord into the Lord's name. Notice it says, for his purpose. Not into their own names, for their own purposes. So we're always gathered into something or someone. And that means that we've been called out of something else. That's the corollary. But the fact here is that these ones, the meetings of the believers here, they're initiated by the Lord himself. And don't you have this sense in the training that even though it's on our schedule to meet right now, the Lord has gathered us into his name. He's called us out of all other persons. He's called us out of all other matters. He's called us out of all other things, and he's gathered us into himself. He's the presiding person. He's our host. He's the Lord. And so it's necessary to gather into the Lord's name for his purpose, not into others' names for their own purposes. So we're gathered into the Lord's name. Why? To enjoy. Amen. We want to enjoy.
Amen.
The riches of his presence. And actually, by enjoying the Lord himself, being gathered together in his person and enjoying the riches of his presence is the very factor that causes us to be in harmony. To be in harmony. So, it says in point B, in the prayer in Matthew 18, there must be at least two persons. We've established that. This implies fellowship. So, it's hard for one person to have fellowship with themselves, right? We need two. We need three. This is the principle of the body. The principle of two is the principle of the church, the principle of the body of Christ. Even Paul, when he wrote the book of Corinthians, and he says that he was an apostle through the will of God and with Sosthenes, the brother, Sosthenes. This is the principle of the body. So Paul didn't just say, I'm the apostle, one with the Lord, which he was, through the will of God, but he also mentioned this brother who was with him. It really isn't too famous, right? But he was with the apostle, and he traveled with him in his ministry to strengthen his ministry, even to strengthen his apostleship. So there's a fellowship there. There must be at least two persons. So this implies fellowship. This is the principle of the body of Christ. So the prayer in harmony, just like this last brothers group sang for us, beautiful harmony. Such a sweet sound, right? This word harmony implies like a sound in a musical choir. It's a musical sound as sounds are in harmony of two or three persons is powerful because whenever they are gathered together into the Lord's name, the Lord is there. So this is the reason for their harmony. And we should really remember this, that the reason for genuine harmony is the Lord's presence, the Lord himself. So it's not our soulish adherence to certain philosophies or political views and agreeing on them. Not social interests, right? But it's the Lord himself with his presence that causes us to be in genuine harmony. Because when we are in spirit, in prayer, one with the Lord, and he's transfusing himself to us, we are attuned to the same mind, having the same opinion, because our opinion is actually mingled together with the opinion of God. Our opinions can be God's opinion if this is our case. And this is what causes us to be in harmony. So it says in the twos or threes, we have to bind the binding one, Satan. And we have to release the sinning one, the one bound by Satan, through our prayer and harmony. What does it mean to bind? This word means to tie something up tightly. Tie it up tight. To fasten it. Almost that it's impossible to get out of. And this is what we want to do with Satan. The things of Satan and the kingdom of Satan. We bind that. What is it to loose? This isn't like an adjective like a loose tooth. When your tooth gets wiggly and is about to fall out when you were 7 years old. Like my son's is. But this is loose as in a verb. To set free. This is to set free. So to loose is to set free the things God wants to accomplish on the earth from the heavens. On the earth. The things of God for the sake of the kingdom of God. So when we practice twos or threes, we have the authority to bind. Bind what? Or I should say, bind who? Bind the binding one. That is Satan. And we have to release the sinning one, the one bound by Satan, through our prayer in harmony. So the Lord in Matthew 12, he says, how can anyone enter the house of the strong man and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will thoroughly plunder his house? So here, the house is the strong man. The strong man is Satan. The house of the strong man is Satan's kingdom. The goods are fallen people. So even when we come together, and I appreciate even our coming together, us brothers, to pray together, and now you're being formed in groups of three to pray together. And we have lots of things to pray for. What classes you'll take. Your family situation. Health concerns. Some financial matters. We appreciate coming together with the brothers. Praying for all kinds of things. And we don't really know. Because we don't come with an agenda. We come with an open spirit to get the sense from the Lord that he can impress us. What is his will on the earth? What does he want to accomplish? And actually, he's just waiting for us to pray. Just waiting for us to gather in twos or threes. Even to have this kind of training really takes a lot of binding and releasing prayers. Right? Even for this message. Right? Binding and releasing prayers. So our coming together to pray is important, even for the releasing of what God would say. We're here for that. You know, I appreciate gathering together with a few brothers in my locality, which is here in Olympia. And we get together every week, three or four of us, and we begin to just pray over the saints concerning where they're at and what their needs are. Some sisters are pressed because their jobs are consuming. Pharaoh wants to consume their hours, and I think Satan would like to even take some out of the church life and limit their times that they can meet and consume their energy and affect their health. Don't these situations command a desire to pray, and to correspond with that desire to pray, to loose these saints, whatever it might be, financial situations. Like I already mentioned, health problems. The young people, how about their growth in life? How about forming your army? How about bringing us onto maturity, to the spiritual age of 20, even that we could fight for God's interests together on the earth? Right? There's so much to pray for. And I'm quite focused a lot on the quality of prayers, but even God needs a lot of prayers in quantity to accomplish what he wants. I was in a situation where I wasn't a student anymore. I wasn't a serving one. But I was in a situation where I was working in a large locality. And I enjoyed meeting with the saints and loved all the dear saints. But I felt like I wasn't quite connected with one person that I could be continuously related with. You know, just to open up about my situation, to pray, this kind of thing. And I began to pray, like some of you testified. And I said, especially in this matter of gospel preaching, which I was burdened for, people, Satan's got a lot of goods in his house, under his authority, in his kingdom, and they need to be released through the gospel. And the gospel can really have a way to go out powerfully when we're in the twos and threes and we're praying for this. So I was burdened for this because I'd spent a lot of time preaching the gospel at a high school and really to no avail. And I was desperate before the Lord. I said, Lord, why is nobody getting saved? How about nobody coming into the church life? Nobody's being freed. I'm not being freed. Help. What do I do? And I started to pray concerning this matter because I spoke with a brother, I think, who was a master in the gospel. And I said, what's your secret? And he just gave me a very simple answer. He said, stay connected. Stay connected. And so that's when I knew I needed a companion. And I began to pray earnestly, desperately. And within my heart, there was a brother. And the Lord answers this prayer. There was a brother who came up in my heart. And I wasn't sure if it was my imagination or if it was the Lord. But it was the Lord. And I went to him and I asked him about it. And I said, Brother Luke, the Lord put me in your heart and put you in my heart and concerning this matter of companionship. How about it? And he said, the Lord did the same thing in my heart about you. And so instantly we were joined. And we would pray. We both had very busy schedules, and we would get together on the phone and pray together. And we'd pray to seek the Lord and to enjoy him. Lord Jesus, I love you. We want to be filled with you. We were filled with him. We were praying for each other's personal situations, our family situations, even his back hurt. And we would pray for that. And we'd pray for the gospel, even that people could be released from the authority of Satan and the kingdom of Satan, to be brought into the kingdom of God, and that the Lord could have his free way in us and through us, wherever we would go. So even though he had a busy schedule, if I went out after we'd gotten done praying, we were connected. We were connected to the heavens, and we were connected in one spirit with one another. So when I went out, this time it was like night and day. It was so easy to speak. Why? Because the authority is there. Young people opening up so easily like little lambs, just ready to receive and to easily be saved. Just being saved. Okay, that was just the beginning. Then I make a little list. And then we begin to pray earnestly for each of these ones that we were contacting. And then slowly and surely, we'd have more time with them. Eventually, some came to home meetings. And really, we want them to come into the church life, that they could be remaining fruit. But this takes binding and releasing prayers. Binding and releasing prayers. There was one time, too, with my cousin. My wife and I prayed for him. We were having a family gathering, and he was really on my heart. And my wife and I were praying for him, even that he could be saved. And we're at this gathering, and we're just there together. And he just comes up to me, and he asks me, he goes, "What are you?" Really strange question. He's like, we've been cousins for a long time, but I don't feel like I really know you. And he just wanted to get to know me and know about me and why it seems like we're so different. And then I just shared with him about who I am and what my life looks like and what I do and stuff like that. And eventually there was an openness and a free way to just share something of the gospel with him. And my wife, who is my best companion, was praying. She was praying. I was sharing. She was praying more. I shared more. She was praying. We prayed. He prayed. He received the Lord.
Amen.
Right? All in this precious, harmonious, sweet coordination with the heavens. But without the binding and loosing prayer, I don't even know if that situation would have come into being, right? We can attribute something like this occurring because it's the will of God. And without the binding and loosing prayers, something like this can't happen. So God's principle of work and the key to his move is that God cannot do what he wants to unless man wants it. So even the omnipotent God, who has supreme power and authority to do whatever he wants, has limited himself. He's limited himself to what he can do, to what man will do, so that he can correspond to what man will pray for, and then he will do it. Does that make sense? So God is all powerful, right? Amen.
Amen.
God is powerful, omnipotent, and he can do whatever. But he won't do whatever unless we ask for whatever. That means we need to want it. So our will needs to converge, come together, merge, be joined with God's will, to kick in our desire, which is God's desire, to pray for certain ones. To pray for certain ones. So man's prayer in one accord, in twos and threes, can restore back to God his unlimitedness. God is unlimited. But the problem is that we oftentimes limit him. And whatever we would ask for, it says, notice this word, for whatever, by asking, it will be done for them. Because there he is in our midst. So it's simple. We ask for whatever in harmony, and it will be done on earth from the heavens. The heavens means God. God is just poised and ready to respond and to execute an answer concerning for what we're praying for on the earth. He's just waiting for that. So you're coming together in twos and threes, even at this training. We're starting to see more of the significance here, right? This is for the kingdom of the heavens. This is for the Lord's return. Even this is for people who are goods in Satan's house. We need to bind Satan and loose these goods that they could have a transfer from that kingdom into the kingdom of God for the glory of God. The prayer ministry of the church is God telling the church what he wants to do and the church praying on earth for what God wants to do. For this, we need to listen. You know, none of us would go to the President of the United States and just start talking at him, I think. Right? If we came into the presence of the President, wouldn't we have a sense that we're in a dignified place and we should really listen? And then maybe we could respond. But how much more the Lord Jesus, the God of this universe, that when we come into his presence, we could just listen with a calm being And he could speak to us concerning what he wants to do. That's how we know what he wants to do. He tells us. And then we can loose on the earth what he wants to do. And then to pray according to the sense that's in our spirit. Not in the wandering mind, not in the troublesome emotion, but what's the sense in the spirit? And then we can pray according to that sense. Not to get too emotionally excited, especially in matters of warfare, situations that are serious. You know, I think the emotion gets really excited, right? We're at war! We gotta be actors, right? Like, and then the emotion kicks into gear, and everything becomes clouded. And actually, if our emotion gets too excited in prayers of warfare, actually Satan has more of a way to attack. We have to calm down and get into the mingled spirit. Pray according to that sense in faith. And it doesn't take much, but it takes faith, even the faith of the Son of God, mingled with the incense, right, at the incense altar, presented to God before the face of God, and then the fire can be cast down on the earth to loose this thing, to loose it. The prayer of the twos and threes recovers and gains the sinning brother. What about those who are weak, backslidden, oppressed, depressed? Will we gossip? Will we spread rumors? If all of the gossip and the rumors can be turned into prayer for this person, if you know of a situation of a brother who is sinning, or a sister, let's never gossip. Amen. Let's not spread rumors that can actually be transformed into lies. But let's turn that into gospel preaching. Let's turn that into prayer. Let's pray for this one that he could have life. Not that we're the life-giving spirit ourselves, but we can be channels of life in prayer by being joined to the Lord who is life in the twos and threes to give life to a brother, even that he could be strengthened and he could be recovered. And this is the Lord's heart. He says we shouldn't give up on anyone. You know, oftentimes if we see a troubling situation, we might, you know, in Matthew 18, we're instructed to admonish the person. Just him and you. Then if he doesn't listen, two or three. Then if he doesn't listen to that, tell it to the church. And I'm afraid, and the ministry brings this out too, maybe we would stop there. You told the church you're free from the burden, but the Lord doesn't give up there. The Lord intercedes, and he cares for the brother because the brother is precious to him. Doesn't he leave the 99 just to recover the one? He's full of compassion toward all. He causes the sun to rise on who? The good and the evil. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. So when we pray, we should simply tell the Lord directly what we want. There's no need for long prayers. We don't need to teach the Lord. We don't need to explain to him. He knows. All we need to do is ask for what? It says for whatever. We ask for whatever. We don't need to expound the scriptures to the Lord. The Lord knows the scriptures pretty well, right? And through asking in one spirit with Christ for the sinning brother, we can become the means, the channel through which God's life-giving spirit can impart life. Amen.
Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Okay, Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Let's read it in an enlivening way, like we're not super tired. Okay, ready? Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Go.
Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, truly I say to you, that if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens.
Hey. Amen. So this is point D again. The prayer of the twos or threes recovers and gains the sinning brother.
Amen.
Okay, we have been covering this line of companionship and having two or three companions and what you should do in your two and threes, okay? Nobody knows about the saints in your place better than you do. I don't know about the saints in your place better than you do, and you don't know about the saints in my place better than I do. And in your place, specifically, the saints that you are around are the ones that you know the most intimately, right? Well, Peter asked the Lord Jesus a question. He said, if my brother sins against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? If he sins against me seven times, do I have to forgive him seven times? Okay, well, who do you think Peter was talking about? A brother from another city? Do you think a brother from another city would have sinned against Peter seven times? Well, the fact that Peter asked if he had sinned seven times meant that he was around somebody who had the chance to offend him seven times. Huh? Has this ever happened to you? How about at home? Do you live with some brothers and sisters? Have they ever done something seven times that offended you? And then you wondered, man, how long do I have to put up with this person? Right? Well, that attitude that Peter had, it gets recognized by the sinning one. You understand? Our attitude gets picked up on by those that we live with and those that are in our locality and those that are on our campus. If we have this attitude like Peter, how many times do I have to put up with this person? This person is just... they just won't get with the program. This person just won't do things the way we do things. They're just different. This person is just causing a problem. I can't wait till this person moves out. I can't wait till I move out. Do you think that that attitude goes unnoticed? Do you think it does? Well, it doesn't. And you've probably been on the other side of it. You know when somebody's offended with you. And this is very practical. I see it all the time in my place. Somebody's a little different and causes an offense to a couple others, and then they just don't want to forgive that person. But this part is about prayer in twos and threes that gives life to the offending one. So our shortage is the divine life. How are we going to... do you know that... we think we need to get life from the Lord, and we do. But what about when we're just weak? Have you ever realized that it's the prayer of other saints that has caused you to make it through sometimes? I don't know if you realize this, but I can tell that I'm here because of prayer. And who prayed for me? It wasn't somebody who didn't know me. It wasn't somebody praying blanket prayers. It was groups of people who were related to me. So you have to ask yourself, who are myself and my companions related to? Who are we connected to? Well, it's the brothers and sisters that we're around. So the Lord answered Peter's question. You don't have to forgive seven times. You have to forgive seven times 70. 490 times. Or that means more than you can count. You have to forgive until you lose count. Okay? Well, the thing that the offending one or the sinning one needs is they need the prayer of the saints who are around them to give them life. Because our shortage is a shortage of the divine life. You understand? The point of this here is if we in our group of companions don't have this attitude, eventually our numbers will diminish. Our numbers will go down because nobody will ever be good enough. If we're around each other, we're going to sin against each other because we're sinners. Are you a sinner? Yes, you are. And so you're going to sin against the saints in your family and the saints in your church. And what kind of attitude should we have? Well, you know, when we see somebody sinning, it could be a sin against themselves, right? Say we have a brother our age in our locality who's gotten into just hypothetically some substances that are not good for him. And you know about it, and other people don't. It's really a sin against himself, but the Lord calls it a sin against you because you're the one who's aware of it. So you're supposed to go to him in a covering way. Like, remember the story of Noah? Two of his sons covered him. Who did he sin against? Well, he sinned against God, but he also sinned against them because they were aware of it. So we become aware of the things that are related to those that we are close to. And because we're sinners, we get involved in sin because we're weak. And the point is, if a person sins against you, it doesn't necessarily mean they did something to you. It's that they are participating in a sin that you are aware of. So you're supposed to go to them in a covering way, to cover them. And if they won't listen to you, you should bring your companions with them, not in a sanctimonious, self-righteous way, but we're supposed to restore with a spirit of humility. And if they still won't hear, we're supposed to tell it to the church, which is the responsible ones in the church, the elders. And if they won't hear the church, then we're supposed to treat them like the tax collector or the sinner. Okay? What does that mean? How does the Lord feel about the tax collector and the sinner? How does the Lord feel about them? He wants them to be saved. That means you should pray even more. Right? He said, I came to those who are in need of a physician. If you're healthy, you don't need me. So the brothers and sisters who are, you know, they're enjoying the Lord and they're going on, in a sense, it's as if they don't need as much prayer because we're not treating them as a tax collector and a sinner. So we should never give up on anybody. Our natural life wants us to give up, and that causes our numbers to diminish. The Lord never gave up. Like Leland said, he went and got, he searched until he found the lost sheep. He uses the word until. He swept until he found the lost coin. Until. Okay, so what should you do in your groups of twos and threes is you ought to pray for the ones you know about. The ones that are in your locality. The ones that are on your campus. And don't have an attitude that you want them to shape up. Have the attitude that you want to give life to them. Amen. Right? That's what 1 John 5:16 says. If you see the brother sinning, pray that you would give life to him. Isn't it amazing? Our prayers in our twos and threes can give life. And that is what solves the problem. It's not that this person shapes up and changes their behavior. It's that they receive life. Amen. And life swallows up the problem. So actually, brothers and sisters, with our companions, we do need to fellowship about our situation and love each other. But we should realize our having companions is to meet God's need. He meets our needs by giving us companions, which is great because if he doesn't, it's hard for us to meet his need. But in his meeting our need by giving us companions, what should we do? In turn, we should meet his need. And his need is to give life to those who are around us. Amen. And he never gives up on anybody. So you might think, it's too late for this one. Well, he doesn't think that. Okay? So his word is that if two and three are in harmony concerning any matter, if you ask, it will be done for you from my Father who is in the heavens. What do you think it means to be in harmony? Anybody want to wager a guess? What does the Lord Jesus mean when he says, if two or three are in harmony concerning any matter? What do we think that means? Anybody want to try? Nobody? Okay. Well, it doesn't mean, it's not emphasizing asking in harmony. It's emphasizing being in harmony concerning that matter. So this is not sameness of intention. Understand? It's not sameness of goal. It's that in our being, we have been taking Christ as our person. I'm taking Christ as my person. And you are taking Christ as your person. And intrinsically regarding this matter, we don't have our own hopes, our own intentions, our own goal, our own motive. We just have a sense of what Christ wants. So concerning that matter, we are in harmony. Okay? We're supposed to emphasize practice in this message. So it's hard to do. It was hard to find some students. Not that there aren't any. We just didn't find any. So sorry. You have to listen to me instead of some students standing up. But I'll tell you my practice of this. I have a partner that I pray with. And sometimes we pray for an hour. Sometimes we pray for 45 minutes. Sometimes we pray for 90 minutes. I find that in practice, it just takes time before we're in harmony. We have to seek the Lord to enjoy the Lord until what's left is our spirit. So after a certain amount of time, my mind is denied. And a certain amount of time, my emotion is denied. After a certain amount of time, my will is denied. That's why I find that we need to actually pray for a while, because I didn't start out with Christ as my person. But the more we pray without an agenda, the more we pray to enjoy the Lord, the more we focus ourselves on who the Lord is, and it's denying our mind, emotion, and will until we're in harmony. And then we get a sense from the Lord regarding something that we didn't necessarily intend to pray for. Or maybe it was something that we intended to pray for. But an anointing comes from the Lord, and then we bind and we loose based on that. So I hope, it feels really awesome when you do this. It feels great. Have you ever helped anybody to receive the Lord and get saved? That feels wonderful. And it also feels wonderful when you're praying in harmony with another person. When you and that person are in your spirit, right? Just like we've heard before. That's the church. The degree to which we're in the church is the degree to which we're in our spirit. And it's also the degree to which we are in the Lord's name. This is what it means to pray in the Lord's name. It's not just to say, we ask this in your name. To be in the Lord's name is to be in His person. And He's the person in your spirit. So when you've denied your mind and your emotion and will, what is left over is your spirit.
Amen.
Okay? And so I find that it takes some time before I can pray for things because my mind is still active. My emotion is still active and my will is still active. But I like to get together with my prayer companions and deny all those things. Sometimes we have to be really exercised. We have to get out of ourselves. We can't have composure. And I know when their inner man is coming out, and they know where my inner man is coming out. And when those touch each other, wow, it feels wonderful. It's like when you help somebody get saved. You realize, this is what I was made for. So I hope that especially, I don't know if I should say I hope, but the Lord hopes it would be good if especially the sisters learn to have this kind of prayer together. You don't come with a list. You don't come with an agenda. But you learn how to pray the binding and loosing prayers by taking Christ as your person together. This has nothing to do with natural relationships. It has nothing to do with human compatibility. We just need to learn how to have some in our place that we come together with to pray.
Amen.
And we know what we're going to do when we get together. We're just going to pray. Okay? So, this is a practice in the twos and threes. So, it's not just asking in harmony. It's being in harmony concerning a matter. Okay? And then we can ask and we can give life to people. And this will affect a change in their situation. And you know what? This is a hidden service to God. You shouldn't go out and then say, David, I prayed for you. That's why you got life. No, it's much more hidden. Like right now, when we stand up to minister the word, we intend to give life. But it's not that hidden, because I'm not standing behind a curtain. You can see who's doing it, right? It's manifested. But a much more valuable service to God is the hidden service, right? Didn't the Lord teach us that if you go and you pray in secret or you give in secret, your Father who sees in secret will repay you? This is very needed. This service is very, very needed. As much as we need you to go out and preach the gospel, we need some to learn how to pray in a hidden way to give life to people. And your reward will be with your Father who sees you in secret. And this is a noble and high calling. And if the Lord would call you to learn to pray this way, you just respond by saying, Lord, I have no confidence that I can be someone who can pray in this way, but work in me to produce this in me because I want you to. Okay, let's look at Roman numeral 2. Let's read it together. We need to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week for prayer with our 2 or 3 companions. Of course, Daniel is here, who prayed 3 times daily. Let's read A. We need to review all our acquaintances, including our relatives, neighbors, and friends, schoolmates, and colleagues. Okay, see this? It's your neighbors, your what? Schoolmates, friends, and colleagues, relatives. Yours. How are they going to get life if you don't pray for them? I don't know who your relatives are. I mean, some of you, I know some of your relatives. But they're your schoolmates, right? Thus is what part of the activities we should do in our 2s and 3s. Okay, let's read 1. Then we need to pray over the name list, seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be first for us to take care of. Okay? If at your place you have 2s and 3s and we have various 2s and 3s and we all have our lists, we should be fruitful. We should see increase because the Lord's labor is personal. You know, we love the big meetings like this, right? We love to come together. But to bear fruit long-term is a person-to-person labor. You don't actually bear people into the church life through the big meetings. The big meetings are a great supply. But if you want to bear remaining fruit, it needs to be like this. You have a certain amount of people that you always have on your heart with your 2s and 3s. You pray continually about them, and you ask the Lord, who should be the first for us to take care of? Who should we spend our time with, Lord? And then you don't give up on them, because we've been encouraging the students in our campus to do this. And you know what? It's hard. It's like having spiritual babies. You know, you have to change their diapers every day. And you say, wow, how long do I have to do this? You know, how long? They just won't return my message. They just won't get back to me. Can I give up and get a different one? A better one? Well, what kind of a spiritual mother are you if you abandon your kids? Right? In 2s and 3s, eventually they're not to care for you. It's to care for the Lord's need. And He wants to make you spiritual mommies and daddies. And you can't give up. You can't give up on your people because they're going to be naughty. They're going to be troublesome. But there's nothing more rewarding in the spiritual life than having spiritual children. And you're not too young to have spiritual children. Actually, if you do get companions and you do get 2s and 3s, after 3 or 4 months of caring for one another and fellowshipping and praying, you should be looking outward. You should be asking the Lord, who can we take care of? who should we take care of first? And then you can't give up on them. You can have three or four on your list, and you can't give up on them. Okay, let's see. Let's read two. We should also keep ourselves open to the Lord for His new leading to visit new people other than our acquaintances. Okay, B. We must be watchful, fight for a time to pray, to be on guard against Satan's strategy to cut off our prayers. So Ephesians 6:18, which we will get to, says we need to watch unto this, praying at every time in spirit, watching unto this with all prayer and perseverance, watching unto this concerning all the saints. Okay, let's read one with our spirit. Among God's children, prayer is the one thing that is most easily attacked. You believe that? I think so too. Outward activity gets attacked. The prayer is most easily attacked because it just requires us to stop. And the hardest thing for a creature who's created in the image of God and infected with the knowledge of good and evil to do is stop. Believe it or not, that's the hardest thing to do. And prayer is a stopping of our activity to deny ourselves and wait on the Lord. Okay, we are on two with our spirit. If you place a high value on your prayer life, you will watch unto it and arrange time for it. No matter how busy you may be, you will still have time to pray. Okay, let's just ask ourselves, no matter how busy I am, do I still have time to pray?
Amen.
Well, I would have to say, if I'm honest, then I don't pass. I maybe get like a C. Maybe I get a C average if I'm checking with myself. But I hope you all do better than me. Sometimes I get too busy and it eats into my prayer time. But that's because prayer is most easily attacked. Let's all read the focus together. We must be diligent in regular prayer in twos and threes, realizing that this kind of prayer is powerful for binding Satan and releasing unbelievers. Okay, how about we take 1 minute to share something with somebody next to us? Just 30 seconds each, short sharing.